So really talking about him. So when we read the book of Psalms, the Lord has to open our eyes to give us revelation concerning the Lord himself. Right? Now this particular set of Psalms, there are 15 Psalms altogether. Psalm 120, let's open to Psalm 120. Altogether, there are 15 Psalms. Now, in order to understand the Psalms, you need to see something. I think if you see how these Psalms were placed together in a wonderful sequence, then it will help you to understand this set of 15 Psalms. So they're all together, 15 Psalms. It's okay, no, it's fine. Thank you. They're all together 15 Psalms. Now these 15 Psalms are arranged in a very wonderful way. Only God in his wisdom could arrange these Psalms in this wonderful way. So if you read our outline, you can see that these Psalms were arranged in groups of three. So this Psalms is arranged in groups of three. That means in each group there are three Psalms. So altogether, there are how many Psalms in each group? There should be five Psalms. Three times five. Okay, I'm sorry. Five groups of three Psalms. Forgive me, I'm still perhaps sleeping this morning. Five groups of three Psalms. So, three Psalms. It is arranged in this way to show you that in order to grow in our spiritual life, you need to see these five groups. In each group, will bring you higher in your experience of the Lord and in the church life. Right? These groups were arranged sovereignly by God. Man cannot make this kind of arrangement. It is not possible. You know, the more you read the Bible, the more you realize the Bible is truly the Word of God. It is not man's word. No man is so capable to compose such a book. Do you know how long it took to finish writing this Bible? At least 1,200 years. Have you ever read a book that took 1,200 years to finish? Have you? I don't think so, except this Bible. 1,200 years. Right? So between the Old Testament and the New Testament and a pause between the Old and the New, they're all together 1,200 years. And over 40 different authors in different ages. They didn't all sat down, they didn't all sit down and discuss, okay, Johann, you write Genesis, and you write Joshua, and you write the historical part, and David, okay, David, you write the Psalms, but even all the Psalms are not written by David. Some are written by Asaph, some are written by the sons of Korah, right? Some are written by, even one psalm was written by Moses and another one written by Solomon. So, hey, so many people wrote the Word of God, this book, in different historical ages. And yet, all of their writings are put together in such a harmonious way, sovereignly arranged, so so that you can see a wonderful whole view of God's plan, of the divine plan. Now, who is able to write such a book? No one can write such a book except God. Now let me show you a verse in 2 Peter chapter 1. Just to help you, and especially the young people, you need to realize this book is very precious. Don't think it's just like any other book. No, no. That's why it's called the Bible. The Bible is called the book. There are so many books in this world, but this book is called the book. 中文叫做圣经啊, the Holy Bible. That's the word Bible means the 唯一的那一本. Right? So, let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter said here, right, let's start with verse 20 and 21, the last two verses. So when you read the Bible, you should know this first. Knowing this first, that no prophecy or no speaking of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So you need the Holy Spirit to read a book. If you can read this book and have a lot of knowledge, oh yeah, I know the Bible. Actually, you don't know the Bible. It's not that easy. So, the prophecy of the Scriptures is not of any private interpretation, because the prophecy never came by the will of man. It never came by the will of man. It is not man's will to write the Bible. Don't think Moses, all of a sudden writing, he has nothing to do. Okay, I'm going to write something about God. No, it is not Moses' will. Right? But holy men of God spoke as they were moved or carried by the Holy Spirit. So don't think the Bible is the word of man, written by man. And so there were people who says, no, this book is written by man. And somebody said, if there is any man who was so intelligent and capable of writing such a book as this and puts everything together in such a wonderful way, from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, then this man is qualified to be God. You know what it means, right? It means that only God could compose such a book. So if this book is composed by Schubert, let's say you claim that you compose this book together, then you're qualified to be God. Because no man is able to put such a book together. Right. So all the Scriptures is by the inspiration of God. Don't think Peter is so qualified and so capable of writing the epistles of Peter. No, no, no. No one is so qualified. But the Holy Spirit indwelling the apostles, for example, in the New Testament, inspires them to write. So today we have this wonderful book. And even this Psalms is so wonderful. Now let's come back to this Psalms. In the Bible, the numbers are very important. Don't think the number is not important. So in the Bible, you have number 6. What is the significance of number 6 in the Bible? Man. Why? Because man was created at the end of the 6th day. So number 6 in the Bible always refers to mankind, to man. Right? So you can see that there is such a wonderful significance. What about number one? Huh? God. Because God is truly number one. Here, Israel, there is only one God. Not many gods. We don't believe in many gods. No. 神是独一无二的神。 所以今天不要乱信， 你要信就要信那位真神。 不要说哇有很多神， 哪里？ 圣经告诉我们， 神只有一位。 There is only one God. Don't think there are many gods. The Greek believes in many gods. The Hindus believe in many strange gods. They even believe the cow is holy, the holy cow. You know the expression of the holy cow? How can it be that a cow believes? Do you believe that a cow is God and holy? You know, when I was in Bombay one time, I told one of the Bombay guy, the taxi fellow, because the traffic was caught up by a cow standing in the middle of the road. And so nobody could move. And I thought, my goodness, wow, you also have traffic here. And finally, all the cars started to move. And you know why we could move? Because a cow was standing right in the middle of the street. And it's a holy cow, you know, a holy cow. So you cannot move, pull him away. You cannot do that. It's a holy cow. I told the driver after we passed by, I said, no, we call that steaks. We eat them. Tastes good. Especially the Texan steak. 1 inch thick. How can you believe that that is God? How can you believe that the idols made by man, you know, that bald-headed guy with a big stomach and sitting right there, and how can people bow down to that thing that is unreasonable? So the Bible says, the prophet there in the Bible says, half of the wood you cut down and burn there to keep yourself warm, and the other half you made into a figure and worship it. What's the difference? So the Bible forbade men to worship idols. 不可以拜偶像。 为什么不可以啊? Why not? Because according to the revelation of the Bible, behind every idol is the demons. The demon wanted man to worship him. But if you know it's a demon, you're not going to worship, right? Right? Will you worship the demon? But behind that idol is the demons, and people didn't know this, so they're worshiping that crazy little piece of wood. But behind the demons, not behind the idols, you have the demons there for you to worship. So, never worship idols. Have nothing to do with idols. That's why the first commandment in the Bible is, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make any idols and fall down and worship them. You shouldn't do that. Don't make any figure. Right? This is forbidden in the Word of God. So here, right, you can really see the numbers in the Bible. And number two, what does the number two means in the Bible? Number two in the Bible is a number for witnesses and testimony. Because the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be established. Right? So if there's no witness, it's your word against me. No, even in the court, if it's your word against me, against my word, the judge will say, well, how do I know who's telling the truth? But if there is a witness, two or three witnesses, and not false witnesses, okay? don't bear false witness. This is definitely wrong. But number two is a testimony. That's why the Lord sent his disciples two by two. Right? Two is witness. What about number three? Huh? Number three has two meanings. You're right. Here, number three is here. I didn't erase this because I'm going to use it again, okay? So number three has two meanings here. Number three has two meanings. Number one, you have the triune God. I'll just put a triangle here. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is a wonderful triune God. We have only one God. But this God, for our sake, revealed himself as the Father. The Father is the very source, is God himself, showing that God wants to be our Father, not just our Creator. Right? And the Father sent the Son to come to be our sin offering, to die on the cross for us, to take away the sin of the world, because man fell, deceived by Satan, and sin entered into man. And so the Lord Jesus is God himself, incarnated to be a man, to be our sin offering. He died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. So Isaiah already prophesied that 700 years before Christ came, that the Lord came to remove our sins. So through his stripes and wounds, it says, we are healed. So he's the one who took away the sin of the world. Right? So we need the Son because of our sins. If Adam has not fallen, then he could have wonderful direct fellowship with God. But after sin came in, our fellowship with God was cut off. So the problem of sin has to be taken care of. So the Lord Jesus came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Praise the Lord. So there is only one mediator to bring us back to God, and that is God himself. And why is it the Lord himself has to come to be our sin offering? Because according to God's word, only someone without sin is qualified to die for you. So where can you find in the Philippines anyone without sin? Can you find someone without sin? How about cardinal sin? If I were cardinal sin, I would change my name on cardinal sin. Can you find anyone without sin? No. So who can die for you? Who can become your sin offering? So God himself has to become a man. Only he is without sin. And for the sake of some of the new ones, I have to explain a little bit why Jesus Christ is without sin, why he should be born of the Virgin Mary. Many, many mistakes as Mary is without sin. Oh, that's a big mistake. Who says Mary is without sin? But God has to use a virgin to bring forth Christ, because the conception of the Virgin Mary is not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. According to the Bible, sin is handed down from generation to generation by man. So you were born because of man and a woman coming together. Your conception is by the seed of man. So the Lord Jesus is the only one who is called the seed of a woman. Right. That is why Jesus is without sin, not because Mary has no sin. No, that's a big mistake, a wrong concept, definitely not. But because the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ was from the Holy Spirit. And the angel told Joseph, be not afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which was conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, so the Lord Jesus, that child that was born through the Virgin Mary, firstly was without sin, and secondly, he is called holy and the Son of the Most High. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the one qualified to die for us. Even if your son wants to die for you to be your redemption, he's not qualified. Right? Are you without sin? Nobody dares to say that, right? So no one is qualified except the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Lord says, no one can come to the Father except through me. Because he's the only one who is qualified to accomplish this wonderful redemption. And he did. Praise the Lord. And then, after the Lord died and rose again as a man, he ascended to the throne and sent now the Holy Spirit to come into you. So, who comes into you? It is the Holy Spirit comes into you. That is why God is triune, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A wonderful mystery. Our God is not simple. So after the Lord Jesus ascended on high, he poured out the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with Mary. Mary, the Virgin Mary, was only used to bring forth Christ. And after that, he really got married to Joseph and had other children. Don't think Virgin Mary remained virgin. No, the Lord Jesus had brothers. And the one who wrote James and Jude, they were the brothers of Jesus. The Catholic Church believes that he is still the virgin. No more. After he gave birth to the Lord Jesus. Right? She gave birth to other people. Through Moses, not through the Holy Spirit. No, it has nothing more to do with the Holy Spirit. So don't believe that Mary is immaculate. No, Mary is not immaculate. No one is immaculate. Many of you are not Catholic. You may not know this word immaculate. Right? And definitely Mary did not ascend to the heavens. The assumption of Mary there is, that's a presumption. Definitely not. So you can pray to Mary. She will not hear you because she is not up there. She is in Hades. As all the other Christians there, nobody could hear you in Hades. Anyway, that's not my point today. My point today is to see the number three means the triune God. The triune God. But number three has another meaning. And that is what? Resurrection. Why is it called a resurrection? Because the Lord rose on the second day? No. Fourth day? Fifth day? No. On the third day. So number three in the Bible is a number for resurrection. Resurrection. And referring to the power of resurrection. Because the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. Why is there a need of resurrection? Because after sin came in, death came in. That's why we all died. You may not die today, but how old are you? Maybe 55, I don't know. I don't know how old you are, but it doesn't matter. Don't tell us your age. But so you may not die today, but when you're 90, you're 100 years old, that's it. Right? So death is a big problem. So the Lord is the resurrection life to swallow up death. Not only he takes away the sin of the world, but he's swallowing up death. So now the Spirit is called the life-giving Spirit to come into you here, to come into you, to your spirit to make you alive, to make you alive. So number three is the triune God. Remember that, okay? And the triune God will work within you to make you alive and to give life to you through the power of resurrection. Now, please read to us Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Yes, Charlie, stand up, read it slowly and loudly to everybody. Okay, let's wait until everybody finds it. Yeah, right. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. What did he say? But
is the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead?
Again, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. What?
Dwells in you.
Are you sure? It says dwells in you, not dwells in the heaven. Dwells in where? He is not even sure, my goodness. No. Are you sure he dwells in you? I am still not convinced. Yes. Wow. Can you imagine the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? You should be jumping. Hallelujah. Dwells in where? Dwells in me. You should say, hallelujah. Dwells in me. Dwells in you. Okay, go ahead.
He who raised Christ from the dead.
Again, he repeats, he who raised Christ from the dead
will also give life to your mortal bodies.
Will also give life to your dead body, your mortal bodies. Again, how?
Through his spirit who dwells in you.
Again, he repeats, how many times in this one verse that says, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, the spirit who raised Jesus Christ dwells in you. You know, you need to repeat that 100 times to believe it. Thank you, brother. Now, this wonderful spirit who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead comes into you, Greta. How about that? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why even sometimes this body is very tired. But goodness, the Spirit who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, dwelling in us, will make us alive. Make us alive. So we'll give life to these mortal bodies, and one day there will be the day of resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise first. This is our hope of glory. Right? So, God is triune. And believe me, in the Old Testament days, the Spirit is called the Spirit of God. It's the pure Spirit of God. Now, as the Spirit of God, he, in a way, cannot come and fill you. He can only influence you outwardly. Right? Because it's not ready yet. But in the New Testament age now, after the age of Christ, this Spirit is also called the Spirit of what? Christ. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. And it is also called the Spirit of Jesus. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it is equals to Christ. And it is also called the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God as well, but now it's called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and it is now called the Anointing Spirit. Anointing Spirit. Now all these titles were added into the Spirit of God. This is very meaningful. What does it mean? So, let's say, in the Old Testament, to make the anointing, you have one hint of olive oil, pure olive oil. Pure olive oil. This is the pure Spirit of God. But the pure and Holy Spirit of God cannot enter into you and me because we are sinful. We still have the flesh, right? Don't you still have the flesh? Are you perfect now? Benson, you're not. That's right. We are not perfect. But how can the Spirit of God now enter into you? You still have the flesh. How can He enter into you? How? By Christ becoming a man. So the humanity of the Lord, I'm going to put here humanity, H-U-M, okay? The humanity is added into you as a plus the humanity of the Lord. And plus His sufferings for you. So His suffering, I'm going to add His suffering into there. And then plus this humanity and the suffering, there's a victory there, the victory over Satan. The first man, Adam, succumbed to temptation of Satan. But the second man, the Lord Jesus, He was victorious over Satan and over the world and over religion, over everything, He was victorious. So His victory was added into it. Plus His death on the cross, His death, His wonderful death on the cross, I put a cross here, was added into here. Wow, so many things added. So many things added. And then His resurrection, the power of His resurrection, this wonderful ingredient is added into this one hint of olive oil is added into it. Plus His ascension, don't forget that. His ascension is added, the ascension plus enthronement. As a man He sat on the throne. It was all added into it and mixed it up. Now the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Anointing. Now, this Spirit now is not just the pure Spirit of God. That is why in the New Testament it is the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit of Jesus, it is the Spirit of Christ who rose from the dead, becoming the Lord of all. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything that Christ has accomplished and what He is now added to the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit that we receive today is a marvelous Spirit. It's a wonderful Spirit. And the Bible tells us the Lord Himself is that Spirit. Right? So you should realize why God today is triune. And what we have received is the Spirit, is the wonderful Holy Spirit coming into our spirit. So what God has invested in you is marvelous. You know, many times I thought Christians do not realize what we have. We have received this wonderful triune God. Where is the Father now? Where is the Father? You better say He's in me now. He will never leave you. Where is the Lord? Where is the Spirit? Where is the power of His resurrection? Right. Amen. That's the way to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Spirit. What a wonderful Christ you have. You have something within you, Schubert, that can swallow up death. You have something within you, the Spirit, that can overcome temptation. Victorious over Satan. Are you afraid of the devil? Are you? Oh, you better not. He is afraid of you. Why? Because the victorious Christ dwells in you. What a wonderful Christ dwelling in us. Are you afraid? See, Because the living God dwells in you. Right. In the Philippines, if you know President Aquino, are you afraid of the little policeman, IRS people come to you, you just call on President Aquino and they all run away. They say goodbye to you. They're afraid of you, right? But today, my goodness, all the power of darkness, when they come to you, you just call, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Where is the Lord? In you. You think the demons are not afraid of you? Actually, it's not you they're afraid of. It is what is in you they're afraid of. It is who is in you they're afraid of. They're afraid of the Lord. That's what they're afraid of. So when you're before a temptation, what do? Surrender to temptation? No, you turn to the Lord. Lord Jesus. So you need to know the triune God. Right? And the triune God within you will work through the power of resurrection to change you if you're willing to let him do it. Only if you're willing to cooperate with him. Otherwise, he cannot change you. No, the Lord doesn't force anybody. Even if a person doesn't believe in him, the Lord will not force you to believe. Our God is such a great God, he has no need to force anyone. No. So, you have to cooperate with him. And through the power of resurrection, the resurrection is not just to rise from the dead according to the Bible. It is through this power of resurrection to swallow up death within you that the Lord can change you and transform you. There's still many things in you that the Lord will have to swallow up and to change you and conform you to his image. So here you have number three. That's why, you know, why I spend so much time talking about number three? Because in order to ascend, every group has three sons. So, in order for you to ascend, what do you need? You need a triune God, number one. You must tell the Lord, Lord, I need you. Without you, I cannot ascend. It's not possible. You can ascend the steps there. Every morning, this morning, we ascended the steps, right? But that is easy to ascend. What about ascending up to him, to the throne? How are you going to do that? Philippine Airlines? Philippine Airlines cannot take you high enough. In order to ascend, you need to know the triune God. You need to experience him. Right? And after all these, you have number five. What is number five in the Bible? Number five in the Bible is a number of responsibility. You know, the Ten Commandments is divided into five and five. The first five is our responsibility toward God. And the second five is our responsibility toward man, toward our neighbor. That is the reason why the Lord summarized the Ten Commandments as, firstly, you love the Lord your God with your whole heart. And secondly, you love your neighbors as yourself. Because you have responsibility. That's why you have 10 fingers, 2 hands. Right? It's not good if you just have 1 hand with 10 fingers. That's not good. No, you can't do anything with just 1 hand. You need 2 hands. With 2 hands, you can do a lot of things. You can perform a lot of tasks. Right? So number five is a number of responsibility. So the more you grow in spiritual life, the more you are capable of bearing responsibilities. Because if you don't grow in life, you cannot bear responsibilities. If Benson is just 5 years old, Quentin, are you going to hand over a business to him and let him run it? Of course not, right? Of course not. Why? He's not able to. You may love him so much as your son, but if he is 5 years old, sorry, Benson, you cannot run your dad's business. Because you haven't matured enough to bear the responsibility. Now let's read Galatians chapter 4. Oh, let us all read Galatians chapter 4. What does it say here in Galatians chapter 4? You see, spiritual principle is very similar to human principles of life. Right? What does it say in the beginning of chapter 4? Now I say, because it says we are all heirs, we are all children of God, right? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all. You see, this is the principle. Why is it that a church life is so difficult? We have so much problems in a church life. Why, Schubert? Because nobody knows the Bible? Nobody reads the Bible? Why? Because we are not spiritually mature. You can know the Bible, you know the Bible so much, but you'll be fighting each other. You know, children love to fight. Don't you? How many children do you have at home? Four. Wow, when they were little, what do? Quarrel. That's mine. And the other one says, no, that's mine. I got it first. And the other one says, no. And there is going to be a lot of quarreling, fighting. My goodness, we Christians have been fighting so much. Why? Because we are not growing in life. So, if we have not grown spiritually, it is not possible for the Lord to give us the responsibility. One day, when the Lord comes, the Bible says we are going to rule the nations with him together in his kingdom. Now, are you going to let a five-year-old boy rule the kingdom? You cannot. You cannot. That is why today we all need to mature in life. We have to ascend. But if you don't ascend, you cannot bear the responsibility. That is why in this group of 15 psalms, in order to ascend, you need to grow. And the more you grow, the more you are able to bear the responsibility. But in order to grow, you need to know and experience a triune God. And you need to overcome the death that is in us. Right? And who can overcome the death except the Spirit who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you? I cannot go into the depth of this wonderful mystery because we lack time. Otherwise, we won't go to the last step in this conference. We will be staying in the first group. If we stay in the first group, then we won't ascend. Then it's no longer the songs of ascents. Right? So even ascents is in plural because, if there's just one step, it's not much of an ascent. Right? So now, by this grouping, the way it was grouped together, you should already see in God's wisdom, he shows us that we need to grow. The way to ascend is firstly, you need to know the triune God. And the triune God will bring you out of your death. A dead man cannot move, right? How can a dead man move? You try to tell the dead man to ascend, can he? He cannot. So you need the power of resurrection. God is a God who raises the dead and who calls things not being into being. He is such a wonderful God. Only through Him you can ascend. By yourself you cannot do it. You can ascend in a company. Yeah, you can ascend from the very low position. You can work yourself up. But that's in a company. But here in God's kingdom, you want to ascend. You need to know the triune God. And you need to change, to grow. You need to be transformed into His image. There's so much that the Lord needs to do. How can you ascend? How can you bear responsibility if you don't know God? You don't even know what He wants. Right? So, praise the Lord. This is the way these 15 Psalms are grouped together. I'm going to now erase it, okay, so that we will not be distracted here. Otherwise, it's too confusing for everybody, right? So, this is important. Otherwise, I would not have spent some time to share on this. This is important for us to understand why there are 15 Psalms in the Songs of Ascents. With this in view, let's go to the Psalms. I hope we can finish the first group today, because we only have today and tomorrow and Sunday morning, right? We'll be going home, and we have 15 Psalms. So I think just to mention it in principles will already be a help to all of us. In Psalm 120, let's start with Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from what? From what? Lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? Or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior and coals from broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak peace, they are for war. You know, on one hand, these Psalms refer to our Lord Jesus when He was on this earth. He was really the Prince of Peace. But the religion, the Jewish nation, they all want to kill Him. They all want to get rid of Him. And they use a lot of lies and deception, false witnesses. And they bear false witness against the Lord Jesus. And they're wild people. You know, the word here in verse 5, Meshech. Meshech. Meshech is the wild tribes from the north. So they're wild. Now, let me tell you, is your flesh not wild? Are you wild or are you not wild? If no one sees you, my goodness, the wild nature came out. If you get mad, what happens if you get mad? Lose your temper. Huh? The bear nature came out. The tiger came out. Right? You should ask your wife. Now that wild nature came out in every one of us, don't think this flesh is also wonderful. No, this flesh is wild. It's wild. It is just suppressed. And Kedar here in verse 5, Kedar means dark. Dark, the dark-skinned people. Now, it's not talking about physically dark. No, it's talking about spiritually dark. Are you not dark? Oh, sometimes your mind is so dark. You're thinking of dark things. We have a lot of darkness still within us. Right? So that signifies the old man lying all the time. If you ask your little boy, did you take the candy out of the jar? No. No, I didn't. Who taught this child to lie? It is in the sinful nature of our flesh. Everyone lies in the Philippines. And in the whole world, the politicians, oh, they are the greatest one. They're the greatest liars, because if they don't, you cannot go into that position, right? Are you an honest politician? Of course I'm an honest. That's already a big lie. Of course I'm an honest politician. There's no such thing. Don't think only the thief who robbed the sari-sari store is a lie. He's a thief. My goodness, the higher position you have, the bigger robber you are. Human beings are fallen, are old men. This is the description of the man according to the flesh. Now, Charlie, you have to help me. Are you in distress? Against what? Just against those policemen and against those corrupted politicians. Oh, you live in the Philippines, you're really distressed by that. Are you distressed by that? No, not just by that. Many times as a Christian, having this wonderful life within us, we are distressed by our fallen condition. Lord, why am I still like this after so many years of being a Christian? Why am I not growing faster? Why am I still plagued by my temper? Lord, change me, save me. Now, who is going to save you? Who is going to save you from your wild nature, you tell me? Who? The pastor? He himself had that problem. How can he help you? Who is going to help you? Who is going to deliver you from the darkness of your nature? Who is going to save you from your German nature? Don't think the German nature is better than the Filipino nature and Chinese nature and American nature. I don't think so. I lived there for 20 years. I know. I'm half German now because I lived too long in Germany. We are all fallen. We are all from Adam. The old man, what the Bible is talking about, the old man. And with such an old man, with the old nature, God cannot build a church. That's why we Christians are fighting amongst ourselves, divided into so many groups and different directions. And even we ourselves in the church life, you fight, right?
就是连我们在教会里也是照常吵架，是不是这样啊？ 淑芳啊, 你可不可以做见证啊？
Why? Because of the wild nature. You are dwelling in the tent of Kedar. That's your tent. That's why Psalm 1 starts, in my distress I cried out to the Lord. How many times do you have to cry out, Lord, save me?
主啊,救我,不是救我,脱离外面的东西啊,要救我,脱离我,我这个个性啊,堕落的人啊,我这个堕落的人,主啊,你救我,save
me. Save me from whose lying lips? Huh? Are you very honest? Are you an honest? Tell me honestly, okay? Ah, Karina, tell me honestly. We all have the problem. You read Isaiah 6. When Isaiah saw the throne of God, he says, "Woe to me, because I am a man of unclean lips." Do you have Isaiah 6? Yeah. In the day of Uzziah the king, I saw. Oh, look, he saw the throne of God. Okay, who has it? Do you have it, Johann? Okay, please read it to us.
Verse 5.
Yeah. Beginning in verse 1, because you jump to verse 5, you don't know how he knows he has unclean lips. You know, if you have not seen this wonderful, holy God, you will not know you have unclean lips. Okay, please.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne.
On the throne, he saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Good, go ahead.
High and lifted up.
High and lifted up. You're too low. He's so high, you're low. That's why you need to ascend, right? Go ahead. Yeah.
And the train of his robe filled the temple.
Filled the temple with glory and holiness. Go ahead. Yeah.
Above it stood seraphim.
The seraphim is especially guarding God's holiness there.
Right. Each one had six wings.
Has six wings.
With two, he covered his face.
He covered his face.
With two, he covered his feet.
His feet.
With two, he flew.
He flew, yes.
And one cried to another and said, "Holy,
holy, holy,
holy,
holy is the Lord of hosts." Now, are you that holy? Okay, please, go ahead.
The whole earth is full of his glory.
Oh, my goodness. And then?
And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him.
Right, that's right.
And the house was filled with smoke.
That's why it's good you don't see him, because nobody can survive seeing that. You know, people are so proud. If there is God, show me where he is. I said, you dare to see him, you won't live. For 1 second, you won't live. Okay, please.
So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone."
You don't say, "Wow, wonderful vision. Wow, because I saw the glory of the Lord." Did he say that? What did he say?
"Woe,
woe, cursed is me. Woe, all the problems will come to me now. Woe is me." Why? Because I am undone. Why are you undone?
Because I am a man of unclean lips.
Because I am a man of unclean lips. This is a problem. How many unclean things come out of your lips? How many? You know, in the Philippines, especially the Chinese that I know, they all like to crack jokes. And some of the jokes, I want to run away. And some of the jokes. We say a lot of things loosely out of our mouths. And especially if you're mad, all the mud came out. You change the M-A-D to M-U-D, and my goodness, if you're mad, all the mud came out. Woo! Okay, continue. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwelling in?
Midst of people of unclean lips.
Dwelling in the midst of the unclean lips. I mean, he's not the only one. I mean, everybody else, we are in the same boat. So who is going to save you? Thank you, brother. Thank you. So, Psalm 120, the first group began in exposing your old man. Would you please read Galatians chapter 5? Just quickly, because it's 10 o'clock already, right? We're going to have a pause, and then I have to share this to convince you that in this first stage, the experience is you realize, oh Lord, I'm a fallen man, I need salvation. Because if you don't realize your real, true nature, you don't need salvation. You think you're okay. If you think you're okay, you don't need God. Just go on without God. But if you realize the true nature of what I am, then you will cry out to God, save me. Please read Galatians chapter 5, beginning in the beginning. Or start with... I'll start with 16, maybe, yes. Go ahead.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Right.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Right.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness,
idolatry, 拜偶像的, yeah, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies,
right.
Wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions,
heresies.
Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That means etc., etc., etc. My goodness, if Paul is going to lengthen the list, we'll stay here the whole night reading Galatians chapter 5. These are the works of the flesh. This is the wild Meshech and the tent of Kedar, the lying lips and the deception tongues and goodness, this is our being, sorry. And that is the man of the flesh in this area. And now, praise the Lord, you have the man of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, would you please read, is what?
Love.
Love.
Joy.
Amen.
Peace.
Long-suffering.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Self-control. Against such, there is no law.
You don't need a law for such a person, or do you need law for such a person, Bianca? No need. Boy, if all of us in the Philippines are like that, there's no need of law. But look at the traffic in the Philippines. Wow, nobody follows the law. You come from all sides. Goodness. You know, Germany now developed a driverless car. You don't need to drive anywhere. You just go to sleep, program it, and the car takes you there. It will work everywhere else except in Manila, I tell you. How can you drive? How can you let a driverless, you know, the computer drive the car in this traffic? Oh, they cannot turn corners. How can computer turn corners? Sing it. Everything, wow, and four lanes become 10 lanes. And then you have cars coming in from the one-way street. And then, wow, one time I saw a relative I drove with him, and because of so much traffic, he drove in a banqueta, in a walkway, swam, and then come out in the other side. Even there are laws, nobody follows it. So how can you have a driverless car? Right? In Germany, you can, because everybody follows the rules. So you can drive that car in a place where people follow the rules. But not here in the Philippines. I'm sure it will not sell here in the Philippines. A driverless car is only good to put in a garage. How can a computer know which shortcut? And no problem. Well, when I drive with with Schubert drive everywhere, shortcut. And finally, we come to the destination. How can a computer know that? So, a driverless car, no good for the Philippines. Forget about it. Don't dream about it. It's not going to work in your country. But it'll work in Germany because everybody follows the rules. Okay, it's 10 o'clock. So, in Psalm 120, you realize, my fallen self. This is the fallen self, yeah? The old man, and this is the new man in the spirit. So Psalm 121 says, we just sang it this morning, so we don't need it to read it anymore because we sang it so many times. I lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh, O my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Right. We'll continue after we have the pause. Okay? Praise the Lord.